17th, and I'm talking to Mrs. Leah Bloom at her home on Sherwood. Mrs. Bloom, were you born in Louisville?
No. Nashville.
Nashville. And how'd you happen to come to Louisville?
I married Harry.
You married Harry, and Harry was from here?
Harry was from here.
Was he born here?
Yes.
Do you know, were his parents born here?
No. They were born in Alsace-Lorraine. When it was French.
When it was French? And Harry grew up here in Louisville?
He was born here.
Whereabouts did he live, do you know?
When he finished high school, he got a scholarship to Vanderbilt.
Oh, in Nashville.
In Nashville, and then I met him as soon as he came to Nashville. He was a freshman in college, and I was a freshman at high school.
Oh, I see. There was quite a difference then, at that point. No, but at that point, there's a big difference. Tell me, when did you marry after you finished?
After I imagine he was in school 3 years. Probably 6 years after we met.
Did he stay in Nashville that entire time?
Until he graduated.
Yes. And then he came back to Louisville?
To live. Yes.
And what did he do when he got back here?
Got a job on the newspaper.
Which newspaper was that?
The old Louisville.
What did he do there?
He was a cub reporter. Police court, anything for a long time. Then he changed. You know, they have a routine. Your husband knows all this.
I know my husband knows all that, but he doesn't tell me everything.
Well, it's not very interesting. It's a routine. At least they used to train people through various departments. But he was always in the reporting.
He was?
Yes, he never went to the business department.
Now, he stayed with the Post?
He stayed with the Post until they went out of business. And then he went to the local Times.
Now, do you know about what year that was?
Okay, I'll have to take you back and look up old records and things. I don't remember.
I see. It's not that important. And then what, he worked with the, at the Courier, you said?
Then he worked on the Courier, but he always worked on the Times, not the Courier.
Oh,
he didn't want to work
Simon's a brother.
I see.
But Simon never lived in Louisville?
Not that I knew of. String player to come into my house.
Do you do it commercially at all? I don't mean commercially, I mean for
Well, I never did until I started to play, became such friends with Louise Harris, who is a cellist, and she plays in the orchestra and the box society, and plays for the opera, and she teaches an enormous private class, and we are very good friends. And when she lives right across the street, and I play for her recitals, for her student recitals, and she insists that their mothers pay me for it. So she sets the price and she collects the money. But I charge for lessons. But I never did charge for teaching, and she says it's perfectly ridiculous. It's just like giving a lesson.
So,
I'm not much of a money maker.
I didn't mean that. I should have used the word professionally.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Many years ago, you must have been in with musical circles.
And I still am with whatever circles there.
I see. I mean, do you remember the start of the Louisville Symphony? Could you tell us about that?
There never was a symphony here. Did you ever hear of Maurice Simon? Maurice Simon loved music, and he was an enthusiastic member, an active member of the YMHA. And he organized a volunteer orchestra for the YMHA. And got anybody who played any instrument at all. They all just did it because they liked it. And a man named Joseph Horvath, who was a trained musician, was a conductor. And that orchestra was the only one in Louisville. It was all volunteer. And then it became a professional orchestra later. And Horvath was the conductor of the group. And then he was replaced by Robert Whitney. And Whitney was the conductor for how many years? I don't even know. And Whitney got the orchestra organized and started it on its contemporary program and really made a name for it. At the time, he was during his years as conductor. And Whitney has been replaced by George Best.
I see. Were you in the orchestra itself? At any time?
I play a piano.
Now, do you remember any incidents along the line, though, in musically? I mean, any favorite tales that you have?
About the orchestra?
About the orchestra.
Not specifically for this purpose.
Any anecdotes that you might have?
They had a terrible, terrible financial struggle for many years. Very few people The dues were $1 a year. Out of that, they bought money, bought the music. See, we didn't have to pay any rental for the hall, many homes. And the music was bought by the club. And if you liked whatever you played, you could buy it from back from the club. Otherwise, it went into the club library. And we used to meet for years at a Ralph and Emily Dembitz, who was a niece of Judge Lewis Dembitz. Do you know about him?
The name sounds familiar.
D-E-M-B-I-T-Z. I think he was a member of the Supreme Court.
That's right.
Were both piano students of Hattie Bishop Speed. And Mrs. Speed had, when she was along in years, she was an old piano teacher. She had taught for years here. She was a beautiful pianist, just beautiful. And she built a music room back of her house, which was at 5th and Ormsby. And we used to meet at that music room, and the room extended all the way in the back of the house from the back of our kitchen to the former stable in the backyard. And she had had special architects plan this building. There wasn't a corner like this in the room. They were all rounded.
There were no 90-degree angles?
No 90-degree angles anywhere in the room. It could seat maybe 100 people. And she had a stage at the front of it. There was an organ built in. And one time, there were four grand pianos on the stage. And through Etta Ralph and Emily Dembitz, who were both members of our club, the Music Study Club used to meet there. This was so many years before Louisville had an orchestra. And we used to study symphonies and play them two pianos, eight hands. Because we never had a visiting orchestra, except occasionally the Cincinnati Orchestra used to come for a concert. Sometimes we'd have other visiting orchestras, but never a local.
Well, the YMHA orchestra was not functioning at that point?
It was completely an amateur orchestra. All the way through. And they were just limited in what they could play.
All right, now this group only met at the Speed Home, or did you have homes that
no,
you could
no,
meet?
No, we met at home. But when we had two piano programs, we met at the music room. In fact, Mrs. Speed was an honorary member of the club.
I should think so.
She used to come there to meet.
Well, I was thinking that when you say 25 members, there are many homes that can't accommodate that. Didn't you run into that difficulty?
They weren't always. There never was a full membership. And of course, if you were a member and had a guest, you were invited to bring her. Mm-hmm. I can see easily 25 people in there.
Yes, here I can see that. Yeah.
And the one that we just met at the places that could accommodate.
And how long was this club in existence?
Well, we had 50th anniversary when I was many years after I joined it.
But it's no longer
it's out of existence now.
That's too bad.
Not enough. I think, Mrs. Myers was one of the founding fathers of this club. Since she was Jewish, most of her social contacts were Jewish, and she wanted to keep it a social music club. So for many, many years, they only invited Jewish people to join.
Well, there were enough Jewish people who did play.
Well, we always have a full membership at 25. You see, you could be a singer, play a string instrument,
program, the person who does practice on that one piece. I mean, they were quite
professional. That was the reason for the club. Because nobody was professional. And nobody was good enough to play publicly. But they were all women who had studied and spent a lot of time at it as they were growing up. And in order to maintain an interest, they had to practice for these programs.
It was only women that belonged there? I mean, it was 25 women?
We had some men that belonged. There was a very well, a boy who has become very well known named Maurice Perlmutter.
Oh, yeah.
Who joined this club when he was probably in high school. Many years ago, Reuben Scher was a member of the study club. And another boy who used to go to med school here, who was a good violinist, named Ben Gross. We had male members from time to time, but as long as they weren't Jewish, it was very limited, you see.
But then at the end, not the end, at a certain point, though, you were not other.
Then we used to ice.
Musical part,
yes. It was always a part of the thing, except since the organizer had been Jewish, she felt she raised her friends.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're organizing.
That's right. And that's really about the only thing I'll ever belong to, except the temple for 4 or 5 years.
Now, tell me about the neighborhoods you lived in Louisville. You started out on
Second and Kentucky. Then we lived there for 2 years, and then we went housekeeping, and we went right up the street from this house.
Here on Sherwood?
Up near the park. There were 3 houses of just alike that were built as duplexes, and we rented one of those first house we lived in ourselves.
Yes.
And then we moved down on Brook Street.
Yeah, we're about on Brook.
Oh, no. Between St. Catherine and Kentucky. Rabbi Gittleman at that time lived 2 doors from us.
Oh.
There were 3 houses that were serviced by 1 heating unit. One that some kind of a central heating business. They were owned by the same people, of course. And we lived there until we moved in the Sherwin apartments, which were out, they're still there on 3rd between Avery and Brandeis.
And then you've lived here?
And then I've lived here for 30 years.
Did you come here from the Sherwin?
No, I had a small house that was 2-story on Speed near the junior high school. And my husband had a heart attack while we lived in that house. And after he recovered, he could only climb the steps once a day. The bedrooms and bathroom was on the second. Also had to lie down after every meal. The paper put a couch in his office and downtown for him because he had to lie down after lunch. And that meant that when he went upstairs, he had to go upstairs to rest or to use the bathroom, and he couldn't come down again. And we lived there for 4 years. And then I was so happy to find this apartment, which had everything on one floor. See, I have 2 daughters. They were both at home. So yeah, everybody had his own room. And we had 2 baths, and there were only 2 steps from the sidewalk into the house. So we could wander over the house. He wasn't so limited.
No. And you've been here 40 years?
I moved here in 1938.
are no longer in Louisville, or they are here?
One of them is here. One is in Chicago.
I see. Now, can you tell me about raising children? Any incidents about raising the children?
Perfectly routine.
Perfectly routine. Oh, did you know the Brandeises at all, or know of them?
I knew Fanny Brandeis, and I know Mrs. Tackall.
Mrs. Tackall is?
Fanny Brandeis' sister, Jean Tackall. But I never was very intimate with her. But I knew her. I've known her almost ever since I lived here.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember anything. I mean, you don't recall anything that you want to tell us.
What everybody knows.
Of course, what everybody knows isn't necessarily recorded at this point. So, if you can think of something of interest.
I never knew either one of them that well. You know, Fanny Brandeis was a pianist, and Mrs. Tackall played the violin.
Or were they in this musical group?
No, they never joined. You can perfectly see now if you live long enough to be this age. Well, anyway, last Christmas, Al Erland telephoned, and he said, we have two Russian musicians who have been sent to Louisville, a violinist and a cellist, and I want to bring them to your house, will you play with them if they come? And I said, I certainly will. So they all arrived, Al and an interpreter and his wife and the two musicians and their little boy. The man is a beautiful, beautiful cellist. She is an extremely good violinist. They both members of the Moscow Symphony Orchestra, and then he is not Jewish, but she is, and they emigrated. Of course, he emigrated with her. When they got to the border of in Russia, as they were going out, the guards took her violin case away from her and opened it and smashed the instrument right in front of her. He was not allowed to bring his own cello, which he said was a very fine one, because they don't let any valuable property go out of the country. But they did let him bring another cello, which was needed a lot of work and was a very good instrument, but he was better off than she was, because she was playing on a very inferior instrument. So Al brought this couple here to play, and we had a ball. We just couldn't understand a word they said. They have no English. Mm. Well, that's 6 months ago, where they have a little dab of English now, and Al has done everything that is possible for us to do to get them placed in music, and then there's no opening here. The orchestra hasn't openings for them, and they are just so they've gone to Seattle, Washington. They know some. They have a friend who emigrated also. teaching piano at the University of Louisville Music School, and he plays beautiful accompaniments. He's a very good pianist, very well trained, somewhere from the West. And I met him through the Cudermos. They had two concerts in Louisville. One at the Mutual Woman's Club.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to hear it. And it was at least a couple of months after I had met them. And I thought they would not remember me at all because I hadn't seen them in all this time. And we can't talk to each other. But we are musical soulmates. Mm-hmm. And the other one was at the community center where they shared Selma Erland's dance program.
Oh, yes.
And I went to them, and they knew me both times. So before they left Louisville, and this Cudermo, this boy that I've just called, has been so kind to me. He's been playing accompaniments for them constantly. Now, he is a professional musician. Ask him, but I'm sure they couldn't pay him anything for the whole this work. It was a lot of work, two whole concerts, and he played with a lot, and he loves them. He just thinks they're perfectly wonderful people. So they've now gone to Seattle, and the Cudermo and I have become good friends. So he just called. He wants me to, he's playing for Morris Bonhart's Porgy and Bess and all the piano rehearsals and so forth for the performances out at Iroquois.
Oh, yes.
There's a whole mess of things going on out there this week. And he wanted to know if I didn't want to go to hear Porgy and Bess. And I said, I'd love to. I can't get there. Well, he said, I'm going to come get you.
Isn't that nice?
So he's coming to that. See, I never had a car. He never could have, Harry could never afford an automobile. So we just, and I don't know how I wouldn't drive. My brother wanted to give me a car some years after Harry died. And my daughters wouldn't let me take it.
Well, how old were you when Harry died?
50.
He died quite young. Very young.
Mm-hmm. He was 53, 54.
Well, have you been giving